I don't know if you saw this post on X from Rich Cimini yesterday. Now, we understand that Steelers fans travel well. There's also Steelers fans that live everywhere because of their success in the 70s and everything else. So if you go to a game on the road, if you were a Steelers fan, you're going to run into other Steelers fans. However, there's a, I guess, a projection model that the website Vivid Seats puts out that says we think there's going to be X amount of percent of this team's fans in the building. So Rich Cimini, doing what Rich Cimini does, looked up how many Steelers fans Vivid Seats thinks is going to be there in a percentage. Did you see this yesterday? If you didn't, it's fine, because I want to see. I'd prefer that you didn't.
I did.
You did. Okay. Did you see this out yesterday?
Very large contingent of Steelers fans, according to Vivid Seats.
48% is their projection. Just about 50-50 Steelers and Jets fans. Now, for a home opener, that's really bad. Now, you want to tell me that the Steelers are fighting for a playoff spot, a win in your in situation, and the Jets are
Aaron Rodgers.
Right, the Jets, you know, are a four win team or something like that. I could totally understand. For the season opener at home to have that much of a invasion of the fans is crazy.
Two years ago, that wouldn't have happened. That's happening because I think, you know, Steelers fans have always traveled. They have always traveled. You know, even back when I was playing, they were traveling really, really well.
They're also everywhere. Like, I mean, I know a bunch of people that grew up on Long Island that are Steelers fans.
So I would just say that that does not surprise me at all. And I don't necessarily.
I mean, for a home opener, 50-50, come on. You want to tell me 30%? That's a high number.
I have to say that where the Jets are today compared to where they were 2 years ago, it feels like a team that is in complete transition. And there's really, the only thing exciting about it is that an ex-player has come back to be the coach, and he's trying to recreate all the things that Bill Parcells did when he took over. And that's going to take time. And, you know, he doesn't have the Bill Parcells, you know, history. He doesn't have the cachet. He doesn't have the credibility. He didn't have the Super Bowl trophy. But what he does have is he does have that, what I believe is the understanding of what it's going to take to turn a Jet team around. I don't believe many Jet fans are all that excited about this year. I mean, I don't.
I understand, and I would agree with them. However, if you're going to go to any game, don't you go to the home opener with Aaron Rodgers coming back in so you
especially
can boo
if
him
if
you want.
It's 1 o'clock on Sunday.
It's 1 o'clock on Sunday in great weather, by the way. I mean, if you don't go to this game, what game are you going to? I mean, they're just, this is the only time that you actually have like any real optimism because they haven't played a game yet. So it's like that you could dream up any sort of scenario because you haven't seen them play yet. It's a home opener, great weather against Aaron Rodgers, 1 o'clock. You can go in there and boo him if you're pissed off about him. And everybody sold their seats.
Well, it's also a way to make some money on your seats.
I know. And I don't want to, anybody can do whatever they want with their seats. I am just surprised that it's that much for a home opener. That just shows me, and this is more an indictment on the Jets than the Jet fan. You know, the Jet fan has had it. But it just shows you how much of the fan base is checked out right now on this team.
And you know what? I lived through that in 1995. Played a Thursday night game against the Raiders. And I swear to God, half the stadium were Raider fans. And Jet fans were disgusted. Jet fans were
what
dumb.
Time of year was it?
I want to say that was in October.
Okay. That's still pretty bad.
Oh,
you know,
was,
I mean, when you're
brutal.
Talking like December or something, a good team comes in and whatever. But and like if it's early in the season.
What I remember about that game is how, and I think, you know, this guy's a really good coach now in the NFL and probably learned a very, very valuable lesson that day. Just like I'm sure Aaron Glenn learned valuable lessons because Aaron Glenn was a teammate of Vance Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
We all know who Vance is.
Yeah, of course.
Vance was a Jet when I was a Jet in 1995. I don't know if he was drafted. It might have been an undrafted free agent. I believe he was the backup quarterback to Cordell Stewart at Colorado. And this was the night, Thursday night, that Tim Brown went off because somebody decided to convert Vance Joseph, I believe, from the backup quarterback to a cornerback. And he was the one responsible playing man coverage against Tim Brown. And I think Tim Brown had about 11 catches and 215 yards.
In the 90s? That's a lot.
I mean, the Raider fans were going wild that night.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, that's another one of those teams where they got fans everywhere because of the success of when the NFL boomed on TV in the 70s. I mean,
everybody loves being a Raider fan. Ah, Raiders, you know, even though they've sucked for so long.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's certainly one of those fan bases, of course, and they're bopping around at different cities and everything else.
I would say those type of traveling fan bases: Cowboys, Steelers, Raiders, Packers.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any ones you're missing. 49ers? 49ers invade places.
Yeah, maybe the 49ers because of their, recent success, but also the Joe Montana success.
Yeah. There's a lot of Niner fans out there, too. Let's go to Steve in Newark. What's going on, Steve? Good morning.
Yeah, what's up, boys?
Hey, man.
So, the little guy in the afternoon, Evan Roberts, season ticket holder for the Jets.
Big fan.
Oh, yeah. He sold his tickets for opening day versus Steelers.
Yeah.
He is not helping the cause.
No, he's not helping the cause, but this is, like, I'll say again, Steve, I'm not going to sit here and tell anybody what to do with their money. This is more of an indictment on the Jets, and this makes it even worse. The biggest sports freak that we know, who goes to more games than anybody else, he bought Knicks season tickets. He's not even a Knicks fan. He's got Nets season tickets. He's got Mets season tickets. He's got Jets season tickets. He goes to probably, I don't know, out of the 365 days a year, it's close to half of those days that he's attending a game. And that man doesn't even want to go to this game, week one, Steelers-Jets. That's pathetic.
By the way, you can catch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus.
You're certainly not going to it, so you can watch it on TV.
That's exactly right. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And by the way, you're right. He's a freakazoid when it comes to these sporting events.
No one loves going to games more than Evan Roberts. In my circle of people that I know, no one likes going to games more than him. And if he's not going on a beautiful September Sunday, week one, to see one of his former players, Aaron Glenn, make his coaching debut, I mean, when do you go?
I don't know. It's crazy that he's not going.
He's got to sell the rest of the tickets now, too. Right?
You would think so, but no. It depends. Like, you know, he'll jump on the bandwagon if they do well.
Joey from Yonkers, October 1st, 1995, 47-10, Sunday Night Football.
Sunday Night Football.
There you
okay.
go.
Thank you, Joey.
Justin in Hicksville. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, guys. What about the fact that the stadium is the worst in the NFL? And, you know, if I want to go to somewhere decent, I would go on a road trip to see them and not go to that big air conditioner. Talking yeah. to, you know, Jersey, when I live in Long Island, my only day off and watching them get blown out or whatever. I mean, hopefully not this year, but.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Justin,
sucks.
You're right.
The place sucks.
No, it
it's
does.
It's worse than Jacksonville. I mean, there's nothing to do around there. It's a disgrace. I mean, it's the worst thing in New York.
Justin, I'm 100% with you.
Well, hold on. You get the American dream over there.
I mean, I've talked about this a lot.
Go on a Ferris wheel. You can go on a lot of different rides.
The fact that we are, like, you know, the New York metro area.
Yeah.
And we have two football teams playing in that place is an absolute disgrace. Of all the buildings that have been built in the last 25 years, it is by far the worst. There's nothing about it that has any sort of character at all. It's an eyesore. Obviously, the location for me is horrendous.
Oh, anybody from Long Island, it's horrendous.
Absolutely horrendous, where there's a lot of Jet fans that live on Long Island. So, I mean, it is just, it's true. I mean, it's hell on earth to get there. I don't even, you know, Sean Winters, God love the guy, of Winters Brothers. He goes to these games every single week on that bus, and he has a great time.
He ain't
time.
Selling his tickets, that's for sure.
No, hell no, he never will. But
that's a real
fan. 3.5 hours to get home after these games.
Yeah, he loves it. That's his Sunday home football games. That's his deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's
1 o'clock on a Sunday is like dream scenario for him.
Yeah, I mean, really one of the, and we're just so used to it now, but I mean, the Jets need to get their own freaking stadium. It's the NFL, for God's sakes. It's like enough of this.
Every franchise is worth billions of dollars.
He tried.
Well, he's got to try again.
Well, he tried. They tried and then wanted to put it right next to the Javits Center. It would have been unbelievable.
I know. But, well, they got to try again.
Jim Dolan didn't want it. And he had that slapdick down in his back pocket. What the hell was his name?
Sheldon Silver?
Yeah, that guy.
Slapdick Silver, they called him.
Oh, God.
Yep. That was one of those things. He got that nickname.
Yeah.
Another guy with a nickname.
They had it going, but, man, they found the weakness and they got him. And he said no. One guy, brutal. Then he went to jail.
But you know, all right, so or maybe that's the history of that. Doesn't mean that in the future something else can't happen. But I mean, you think about the worth of these franchises, and to have two in market number one playing in one of the worst stadiums in the league, I mean, it really is mind-boggling.
Woody Johnson wanted to do it. He had it. They had it. It would have been unbelievable. It would have been right over here. People
so try again. Yeah. Try, you know. And again, At first, you fail, try again.
And the great thing is that now with congestion price and all the people that have been driving in to go to the games.
Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Tony is in Middletown, Delaware. What's up, Tony?
What's up, Tony?
Yeah, hey, I just want to let Sean know that, you know, if he comes to the Gold Lot A at the stadium, we'll be tailgating and, you know, we'll have a couple burgers, brats. And I don't know if you drink beer, but, you know, a couple
Do
beers for you
beer.
If you want.
Bourbon, brats, and beers.
Tony, I like it. Gold Lot A. Okay? All right, we'll put you
Gold
on
Gold Lot A. Just look for the black dude with a cowboy hat. That'll be
me.
Oh,
that's easy to find. All right.
Wait, with a regular, yeah. not a football cowboy hat, like a cowboy hat.
No. With the Stetson cowboy hat.
Hey, black cowboys, there's a long history of them.
I love it, bro.
I'm just making sure it wasn't a Dallas Cowboys hat.
No, I got what he was saying.
No, I got it, too. I just wanted to confirm it because I got nervous for a second. I wonder what the breakdown's going to be down in D.C. because the Giant fan is giddy. The Giant fan is jacked. It's a nice, easy trip.
And it's opening day.
It's opening day. Now, the Commanders are very popular. They got to the NFC title game last year. They are a rabid fan base in D.C. I lived there for a few years. They love that freaking team. So I would still think it's going to be like 80-20 Commander fans.
I would think so as well. But you also got to remember, D.C. is like some of the season ticket holders are from elsewhere.
That is true.
Right, because it's a little bit of a transient city, so maybe those teams would be willing to sell, but the problem is it's the Giants.
Yeah.
If it was any other team than the Giants, say it was, I don't know, the 49ers, or whatever team travels well. I can't think of another one.
Oh, I'll give you one. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right, say it's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Maybe they would just say, all right, you guys can have the stadium today. I don't think they're going to give it up for the Giants fan, though.
Speaking of the Pittsburgh Steelers, as you may know, they're facing the Jets on Sunday.
Oh, really?
And according to Vivid Seats, all right, based on their projections on tickets sold and where the tickets were sold, they are projecting how many Steeler fans will be at MetLife Stadium on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, come on. Let's hear it.
48% of the stadium, Steeler fans.
You can't let that happen.
Oh. Same old Jets.
Are you selling your tickets?
I may have made a business decision.
Oh, come on, Evan.
I had to.
50-yard line, first row.
I had to.
Come on.
You know why I had to?
It's the first game of the season.
I understand
it's Aaron Rodgers.
First of all, I go there to see my team, not who we're facing. That's number one. Number two, the reason I made the business decision is not because someone offered an absurd amount of money, because that's not even true. Mm. It's the fact that the Giants play at 1 o'clock, the Mets play at 1 o'clock, and the Yankees play at 1 o'clock.
You are the DVR king. Right, and can you forget baseball for opening day?
Mets-Reds. Yankees Blue Jays. It's rough. I want to do my job as well as I can.
No. When this show started, Evan,
what?
You made a big proclamation to the three of us because you were missed to go to all the games.
Yes.
When there are big moments, I think it's important and of value for the show to be there. I just plucked down $400 to ride a train down to Landover, Maryland because I think it's important for the show that I'm there. And you're selling your ticket to Steeler fan?
Well, first of all, I don't know if it was a Steeler fan. That's number one.
Well, that graphic would tell you likely.
And number two,
there's a 50-50 chance it was.
That's true. 50-50. I'll be at least half the Jet games this year. I just had to make a decision based on Sunday with everybody happening at 1 o'clock. I got to watch everything. I'm going to be in my TV room with all the TVs set up. Jets will get the big screen. Giants will get a nice little teeny weeny screen. Mets will have a nice size screen.
It's all right. We have a presence there with the Giants. We don't need you to worry about the Giants. We got the Giants.
All right, thank
we're
you.
Good. Yeah, okay. We're good. You know what? When we do Giants next Monday, Evan, sit it out. Go to the bathroom. Me and Tiki got covered with Tommy.
So when we do Jets, Mets, and Yankees, you sit it out? Is that what you're telling me?
Fair.
Let's go to Roman and Hawthorne. What's up, Roman?
Hey, Evan, Tiki, thank you for taking the call. Well, love your show. You. Love the Giants.
Thank you, man. We acknowledge you, sir. What's up?
Thank you. That being said, I wanted to say that I don't care if Jalen Hurts, even if he stopped the war in Ukraine, I still would never like the Eagles, ever.
It's not about liking
ever.
The Eagles. It's about
what.
Liking Ro-
He
it's
can
about
win the Nobel
him.
Peace Prize.
It's about
he can win the Nobel Peace Prize, and I will hate the Eagles forever.
Great, but you'll like him. That's all we're saying. We're not.
I'll lay all right.
That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. Go ahead, Robert.
But I want to make a point about Jackson Dart. You guys were talking about, you know, especially you were saying Jackson Dart should sit. Let me draw a parallel first, and then I want to give you a really cool point. The parallel is to Eli Manning, obviously. Tiki knows all about that. He was on the same team as him. Listen, he started right behind Kurt Warner. He was sitting on the bench for, what was it, like four or five games, something like that?
Yeah, nine, I think.
Nine. But he started at some point in his rookie season. Lost every game until the last game, which I think, Tiki, you ran in that touchdown to win the game.
That's right.
You know, he had an amazing, and, you know, the rest is history. We all know about Eli Manning. So the point that I want to make about Dart, though, is I don't know if you guys ever heard of this, but there's something called the star predictor score. Did you guys hear about that?
I do not know that one.
Oh, so listen to this. So I checked this out. I went into it, and I kind of, like, did some research on it. So the star predictor score or the SPS has been around since 2003, and they basically rate every rookie on how it's a fantasy thing. It's like for fantasy football, but whatever score they come out with. I just want to read you guys the top 10 guys that they had on the list and their scores. Which, unless you want to guess, if you want to guess, that would be really cool. But you'll never guess number one.
The problem is the internet is very quick. So,
you already know?
I already know.
You screwed up the game. I was curious.
All right, so Tiki already knows.
I was curious.
Go ahead. But reveal it. We'll let you do the reveal, Roman.
I'll do the reveal. It's amazing. So number two, Lamar Jackson with a 99.2 score.
Right.
Jalen Hurts at number three, 99. Ben Roethlisberger at number four, 97.7. And I'll just go to number five, Patrick Mahomes, with 96.2.
Well, you're leaving out number one. I mean, is number one Zach Wilson? Is that what you're about to tell us?
Yeah, Sam Darnold. Number one, Jackson Dart with a perfect score of 100. Now, I don't know if it's – listen, I don't know. This is whatever. It's for fantasy. You know, somebody made this up, and they've been doing this. They've been keeping track since 2003. But this list is really cool. I mean, it's Deshaun Wilson is at six. Cam Newton at seven, Kyler Murray at eight, Josh Allen at nine, and Drew Brees at 10. So I don't know if it's valid. I don't know if there's anything to it, but just that star predictor score is, you know, it's like making us salivate as Giants fans, you know? So I have no problem with that. Look it up, star predictor score. You'll see it.
Does that make you salivate, Tiki?
I mean, it tells you that the expectation is high. Now, we all know. Success can come from many different ways. It can come from just great coaching. It can come from being in the right place at the right time. We'll call it a little bit luck. But it's ultimately about setting and achieving an expectation. And I think Jackson Dart has a high one for himself. The question is, are the tools around him to achieve it?
Yeah.
And so I think the answer to that question is yes. I think the expectation is through the roof, and he has every potential to be a star. By the way, he just read the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The other rookie from this year that also has 100 is Ashton Gentry.
How about that, huh?
100% chance to be a star.
I'm going to spend my night doing this after the Yankees are done, after the Mets are done. I got to study if this stat, this star predictor score, I got to go deep in the weeds on it.
You got to go back?
I got to go back further. And I can't just see the ones that are high. I need to see the really low ones, like where they missed out, or some other high ones that didn't work out.
So this is the one the list I'm looking at.
Yeah.
It's historic. And so it has.
But, Teak, how do we know they didn't insert it after the fact?
I have no idea.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because Calvin Johnson
is right up there with 100.
Right. Like, what if I told you, hey, I created a new baseball stat? It's a way to determine if prospects are any good. It's called the FLOPUS. And according to the FLOPUS, I knew Bill Pulsifer was going to be a bust. I had him like 150th. The same thing with Brian Taylor. That was a Yankee prospect. But you know who I had really high and no one saw it coming?
Who?
No one saw it coming. Chin-Ming Wong. Mm. I had him very high and had a couple of really good years. DeGrom was very high. I just made it up. Like, if you're listening to me, I just lied to you.
You're right.
All that's made up. So I don't know if these stats go way back
yeah,
when.
Yeah, we don't have a chart of whether historically this is right or wrong. One name that I found that's down at the bottom of the list, this is on the page like 20-something that I'm looking at, was T.J. Yeldon. Remember him?
No, he's running back.
Alabama.
Yeah.
Alabama.
Yeah.
His score was 42.
See?
And it was kind of right.
Now, I understand that there are some people very upset with me about the decision I made to sell some tickets over the weekend, so I'll let Sean in Brooklyn yell and scream at me. How are you today, Sean?
Evan, this is just pathetic behavior. This is why we have such a losing culture with the goddamn Jets.
I'm a loser.
With our fans, because of just loser behavior with our fans. We're going to let the goddamn Steeler fans take over the stadium on week one. We should be all hyped up for a new culture, a new coach, be excited, but instead we're going to be swamped with Steelers fans because of loser fans like you
selling
the damn tickets.
Well, okay. Sean, you got to be the hype man. I like that. By the way, Sean is a fan. And know what fans can talk about? You can do it on the NFL on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Would you like to answer this accusation that you are a loser, quote, quote, loser fan?
Number one, I do not deny that I'm a loser fan. I am a loser fan. I embrace that. That's number one.
So, unfortunately, the Elijah Vera Tucker news after we got off the air yesterday got worse. Torn triceps, surgery, the whole deal. You're just not going to see him. This is a man who has dealt with a lot of injuries since being drafted. When he's healthy, he is a dominant force on that offensive line. Clearly, this is a big blow for Aaron Glenn in his first year. And that sucks. And now we're still waiting on the Andrew Thomas news. Is Andrew Thomas going to play in week one? That's a big one.
Here's the good news on that side is that he was in full pads and did a full pad practice yesterday. So how comfortable he feels this morning and how he came out of that practice yesterday will probably determine as to whether or not he plays this week against the Commanders. It was interesting. Reading the Giants side of things, you know, everybody's all jacked up that he's going to be back. Reading the Commander sides of things, you know, they need to protect him. They need him more for 15, you know, 16 weeks. You know, maybe the first week he's not out there. And if he is out there, maybe, you know, he's not going to be in great shape to play a full NFL game. You know, so it depends on which side you're reading from. But this Elijah Vera Tucker thing, I just feel so bad for that guy. I mean, he is a really good player and he's supposed to be a foundational player for the Jets, and much like the previous regime, I mean, they've dealt with injuries, and every team does deal with injuries, and I don't. It seems to me like the Jets and the Giants just have just an insane amount of injuries to key players at the wrong time.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely part of why they've been bad. I mean, we're also so focused on it, but there's injuries all over the place in the NFL, but there are just key pieces to these teams that you're right, that go down. I mean, there's a specific difference in the way the offense looked for the Giants when Andrew Thomas was there and when he wasn't. And him being on that line is just as critical as Dexter Lawrence being on the defensive line. And you know, I'm not really concerned about the Giants' defense being competitive, but I still do have major concerns about their offense being competitive. I know that Russell Wilson is a more seasoned player than Daniel Jones, and another year of Malik Nabers should be good, and you got three running backs now that you can count on, but their second wide receiver, you know, after Malik Nabers, their wide receiver core I don't love, and this offensive line's got to prove it. I mean, they has to prove it.
Yeah, and it's a shame that these two players are kind of like, well, we know AVT's done, but I mean, as far as Andrew is, whether or not he's going to be able to play, I mean, and play a full game. I mean, that's the other thing. But both teams have tried to build these offensive lines. You know, Joe Douglas tried to do that when he was here. And now Muji's doing that with Membo, the addition of Membo to this group. And then all the free agents that both of these teams have signed as offensive linemen, and how all those guys seem to get hurt or just don't work out. It's an amazing thing watching these two teams go through this, because one of the things, or two of the things about the Philadelphia Eagles that everybody talks about, is that combination-wise, they have the best defensive and offensive line combination in football.
Yeah.
And I would think that the Lions are right there with them, especially if Aiden Hutchinson's going to be healthy.
Yeah, I mean, people forget about that last year. I mean, and the Lions getting as far as they did, even though they got blown out in the divisional round.
They were a disaster defensively the last month of the season.
Yeah, no.
They were horrendous. And, you know, they gave up, what, over 34 points per playoff game?
Well, they only played one playoff game. So, I mean, it was that home game. They hosted the Commanders and got their asses kicked. But in that, you know, it's amazing just thinking back. They were so bad defensively. They played one great defensive game in their last like seven games,
and it was against the Vikings,
against Sam Darnold. And then the next week, well, they had the bye. So then the week after that, you know, here comes Jaden Daniels and the Commanders slicing and dicing them.
Oof.
And then the Jets hired their defensive coordinator.
Awesome. Well, I mean, a lot of that stuff was out of his, just like it was.
Wasn't that when a coordinator is supposed to shine, when doesn't have all the great players?
Yes, I guess you could say that, but I would just, you know, my feeling is that all these coaches, you either catch a break or you don't. You catch a break if you're a bad team and all of a sudden there's a Jaden Daniels sitting there when you draft number two overall. And he changes, well, the ownership changed down there, the coach changed down there, mm-hmm. and the quarterback changed.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden the entire outlook of the franchise changes. And, you know, the Giants, I think, thought they had that with Daniel Jones, or at least they were hoping for that.
Yeah, now the Indianapolis Colts are hoping for it. I think that the Jets, the Saints, the Panthers, the Colts, those are going to be the worst offensive teams in the league. There's got to be another one in there I'm probably missing. But I think the Jets could be the second worst or worst offensive team in football.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, it's going to be so ugly to watch. There's going to be so many third and sevens, third and eights that they're not going to convert.
Well, you know, I think what they're going to do, and this is what everybody says, and even Mike Tomlin said it this week in regards to what Aaron Glenn's comments have been this entire offseason. We want to run the ball behind a big offensive line. We got three running backs that do that, and we have a running quarterback that should help the running game. And just by sheer athleticism alone, you'd like to think that Justin Fields is going to get you four or five first downs a game, and that's something that Jet fans have not seen or been a part
of. With his legs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so he'll make some plays with his legs. I would think that Tanner Engstrom, their offensive coordinator, there's going to be a lot of bootlegs, a lot of seven-man protections, a lot of, like, cut the field in half kind of stuff. And then as Justin gets more and more comfortable as the season goes on, which is what they're hoping for, then they'll do more and more things that maybe Detroit does within their offense. But they don't have the offensive playmakers that Detroit has.
Man, I am so curious to see the Jets week one. I am so curious to see if they're going to be competitive.
Here it is, the Lions defense in December of 2024. This is last year.
Yeah, don't remind me.
Points per game. They gave up 32.5 points per game. Yards per game, they gave 429 yards per game. 321 through the air. And every single one of these statistics, they were either last or 31st. That's how bad the Lions defense was going into the playoffs last year. And it's no wonder they lost the home game to Washington.
Yeah. I mean, I know that there's injuries and other things involved there, and they were decimated, but it is kind of funny to say that the team that ended the season the worst defensively in all of football, the Jets, ended up hiring their defensive
coordinator. Well, I mean,
funny. Funny. I know, don't give me the hey this, hey that. Just that fact alone is pretty funny.
When they were healthy in September through November, they were fourth in the league in defense.
Yeah.
And then as they started losing players, that's when it all started to come apart.
You know what they say.
What did they say, G?
It's not how you start.
It's how you finish.
That's right.
I want to play you a clip from Aaron Glenn earlier today. It was a very thought-provoking question by Rich Cimini, who simply said, in fact, you know what? Play the clip of the question with the answer and just stop it after the question, and then we'll play it again, because I want you to hear exactly how it was worded, and then we could play along on what Aaron Glenn's answer is and what our answer should be as Jet fans.
What to you would define a successful season?
All right, stop right there. What to you would define a successful season? It's a very interesting question.
Right.
Because I was actually on the phone earlier today with Joe B. I was checking in on my man.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, this is before I heard Aaron Glenn, I said, I got to tell you, bro, the successful season for me is making the playoffs. Joe must have had a heart attack laughing at me. At the play, I mean, bro, I'd love to. Are we serious?
Why, he thinks it's an impossibility?
He does not think it's happening. He does, and I think a lot of people feel that way. And my point to him was, I'm not telling you it's going to happen. I'm just answering, hey, this would be the only thing that pleases me. This is a team that hasn't seen the postseason since 2010.
Right.
Since January of 11. I'm sorry. Like, an 8-win season doesn't do it for me. Now, that doesn't mean I'd want Aaron Glenn fired or anything crazy like that. I'm just giving the honest answer on what would be a successful season. So Aaron Glenn's going to give an answer. Do you have an answer on what a successful season would be?
I would say, because I don't know if making the playoffs is defining a successful season. It would be a little bit nuanced, but I would, if I was Aaron Glenn, I'm saying we need to win some games, obviously. Not putting a number on it, because as soon as you do that, you're going to get defined by that number. But I need to feel like our team makes progress every single week and we have good players. That's success.
That's a very coach's answer.
That's what coaches should say.
Oh, I gotcha. I'm just answering it as a fan. Like, if you were in my shoes as a Jet fan, what would be a successful season? Because win totals do matter. Like, I'm sorry. We could sit here all day and say, it doesn't matter. Of course it does. I want to win games.
I don't think,
sick of losing.
I don't think you can say if the Jets don't make the postseason that it's a non-successful season. So I have to stop short of saying they have to make the postseason. I think the biggest thing they're doing is evaluating the talent,
right,
particularly at quarterback and running back probably as well. Offensive line, I think we kind of know that's about right.
They've invested enough first-round picks on them.
Secondary is something they're also evaluating. It's hard to pinpoint. I really don't have a feel at all for the New York Jets. And partly it's because they're radio silent on purpose. This is the culture shift that Aaron Glenn has created, especially in the wake of what Robert Saleh was, which was open and out there with everything, including to Joe B, who would spill it. But you don't feel like you have a sense of what the plan is. That's probably intentional.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to assume that's a good thing. But if they start poorly and they look lost like they have it, other times in their history, the fact that we don't know is going to make it worse.
Here is the question again, Aaron Glenn's answer, and I'll give you my answer.
What to you would define a successful season?
What would define a successful season? I want to be a team to where the fans will look up and say, we're proud of that team. And if they say that, I'll be happy. I'll be happy, because within that, I know that wins will come.
Couple of things. I love the way he repeats the question, which tells you it's a good one. The fact that he had to repeat it is, boy, I got to think of a good answer.
Yeah,
this is a good question.
Let me stall for a second by repeating what you just said. Or you could just pause like Jalen Hurts did when asked what his favorite book was.
That's true. That's true. And I don't mind the pause. Like, I think sometimes Aaron Judge pauses all the time when he's asked questions. Right. And I think that's a good thing, because it means you're thinking about it. You're not just throwing it away and giving coach speak. Like, he paused. He thought about it. And then he paused again. Mm. And then he gives us the Jet fans are proud. Now, here's what's brilliant about this answer. He just put it on us. He just put it on me. What makes me proud may be different than what keeps some of our callers proud. Mm. Or what would make Joe B proud. Or a lot of, or BT proud as a Jet fan. Like, we all may have different answers. So I respect the brilliance of somehow putting it on us. Because he made it about the fans. He said, I want the fans to be proud. Well, what the hell is that?
But can't that backfire if the product is just terrible and the fans are the farthest thing from proud?
Well, then it wasn't a successful season, according to Aaron Glenn. He's asked, what's a successful season? Now,
but that's weird. now that I think about it, the way that you just laid that out.
I thought it was a brilliant answer.
It's brilliant because you're a fan.
Yes.
But now I'm thinking from the opposite view, from an internal view. That can't be what you're judging the season on if you're Aaron Glenn or Darren Mooji or ownership or whoever. It can't be, well, the fans are proud of us even if we were 2-15.
The fans are not going to be proud of
us. You know what I mean? Or whatever it is. Like, there has to be some sort of metric or expectation that they've set internally. I think he just doesn't want to say it.
And what is it?
And I'm not saying it's wins or anything. I'm just, there has to be something else.
Well, I think it's, I really think it should be and is what I'm about to say. And I've said this before. This is not the first time I've ever said this on Evan and Tiki, though it may be the first time you've heard it. My measure of success is the In the Hunt graphic. And I know that sounds nuts, but it's true.
Yeah, it is.
I want to be in the hunt. I want in December the Jet logo to be in the graphic. Doesn't mean they're in a wild card spot. Doesn't mean they're leading the division. That feels unrealistic. That'd be amazing. I'd be thrilled. But I want to be in the hunt because it feels like other than 2015, the year where they choked in Buffalo, they're never in the hunt. Mm. When have they been in the hunt? So, Coach Glenn, if you're listening, I am a season ticket holder who sometimes sells his tickets. So I'm sorry I won't be there on Sunday. What would make me proud is you keeping this season relevant through December. Is that a fair answer?
That is a fair answer because every team wants to be in the conversation getting close to playoff time. And that's December. Play meaningful December football.
That's right. It's a borrowed line from Fred Wilpon, who once said his goal for the Mets was to play meaningful September games. Mm-hmm. And Steve Summers brilliantly mocked that for a decade and a half. I'm not mocking when
Why?
I say...
Because they didn't play meaningful September games?
And they didn't, and it was also such a low bar. And I admit it's a low bar, but it's just year one. I'm saying right now, meaningful December games. I'm not going to say that next year and the year after and the year after. But for one season after this incredible streak of ineptitude that they've had, that would make me proud, Coach Glenn. Mm. So that's my answer to him. Now, as an IFO, Sean, what's a season of success for the New York Jets?
I disagree that it has anything to do with win total. I think a successful season for the New York Jets makes you believe that entering 2026, they are capable of making the playoffs. I think it's all about how you end in the vibe. So I don't know that it involves win. Maybe you don't win a game early and you rattle off five wins late. But I think you need to end the season thinking we are on the come as a franchise and we are a playoff contender in 2026.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I think it's connected,
though. Because year one, yeah, it is. But year one, I mean, it matters, obviously, because you see D'Amico Ryan, who I referenced earlier with Houston, it set the tone of what his tenure is going to be as and what the expectation is going to be going forward. Like, he couldn't have come back in year two and just sucked. I mean, they struggled a little bit. They ended up firing their offensive coordinator, who I was lauding a little bit earlier, but they still made the playoffs.
Right.
Right. So once you have a successful season, it better beget more successful seasons.
I agree. But
otherwise,
I think,
you're taking a step backward.
But I think the way to get to that, to get to that area of I believe they can be a playoff team or you believe they can be a playoff team, is to be in the hunt. I don't know if there's a realistic scenario where you accomplish the whole, hey, I think we're a playoff team next year, and you're not playing relevant December games. That'd be tough to do.
Okay, so we all know they have a tough schedule to start the year.
Yeah.
What if they started 0-4, right? Set the tone, bad year. But then the team starts to come together. You start to realize. And at the end of the year, the Jets end up winning six games. Like, they are a 6-11 team, but their best football has been played late.
So, like, a softer version of the Lions a few years earlier,
sure,
where they end up in a playoff race, but they really overcame the bad start.
You end up picking 10th in the draft, but at the end of the year, you feel like, man, Aaron Glenn really built something towards the end. We're going to get moving here in 2026. You don't think that's a successful year?
Yeah, I mean, this is why it's so hard to judge. And now you bring up that Detroit Lions team, and I'm forgetting like the specifics of it.
But how bad was the start? They finished 8-8 or 9-7?
Finished 9-8.
9-8, that's right.
Yeah, because there's 17 games here.
Forgot about
but they
that.
Started the season 1-6. So, I mean, it was bad. They beat the Commanders, was the only team they won. Lost to the Eagles, Vikings, Seahawks, Patriots, bye week. Come out, lose to the Cowboys, the Dolphins. And then they won eight of their last game.
Yeah, that's what Sean is saying.
Right.
I agree with that. I think that's fair. I think you drew it up. Start off 1-6. Not that I want that. Finish so strong where there's that momentum and belief going into the following season.
8 of their last 10 they won.
Yeah.
Yeah. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Ray is in Babylon starting us off. What's up, Ray?
I can't wait. I'm going to say this at the end of the season or even the mid-October. I'm going to say, I can't wait because this Jet team, I'm going to declare it, September 2nd, 2025, we're going to the playoffs, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it on the shoulders of this.
What's that?
Yes, we are.
Yep, now
we're
going to
do it on the shoulders of this offensive line. We got a healthy Tucker. You know, Pittman, I think, is going to show us some real blocking that we're going to need for Fields. And I'm telling you, this offensive line is a line that's full throttle. They're going to blast through the NFL. And I'm telling you, I'm declaring it. This offensive line is going to carry this New York Jet team to the playoffs. I can't wait till Sunday.
Listen, one other point. Yeah, go ahead.
I can't wait for calls back after week three when they're 0-3. Right.
He's going to have to amend it. Come on, Ray. Stay firm, Ray.
I can't wait, Sal.
You like the excitement there from Ray? And,
Speaking my language, brother.
I was going to say, I didn't know what I was talking about. BT or Ray there.
It's not delusional. The Jets have a really good O-line. I was looking at this earlier, and this is part of the reason why. This is actually a massive part of the reason why I think the Jets could be good this year. They finally invested resources up front. So Fashanu on the left side is 22. He's a first-round pick. We know about Johnson. Now, John Simpson a little bit banged up, but he came from the Ravens and the Raiders before that. John Simpson's a good left guard, and he's pretty young, mid-20s. Joe Tippmann, second-round pick. He's 24. I like him at center. We know about AVT. It's never about is he good. It's can he stay healthy. 26 in his prime, first-round pick. And Amembu is a 21-year-old first-round pick, top 10 out of Missouri. Like, those guys, and then you have the good running backs, and now, and really, to me, it should open up a window for some gash plays with Fields. Like, the more you sell out to stop the run, the more Mason Taylor or somebody else is wide open or a fullback. You're like, wow, where's the defense? Well, because they've been getting their heads crushed all day in the running attack, that they lose sight of a basic assignment. And I think the Jets are going to have more gas plays this year with Fields than with Rodgers.
I'm all for a more competitive, more disciplined, more buttoned-up season from start to finish. I think the talk or the idea of playoffs is just not... Like, I don't think the Jets are in that conversation yet. It doesn't mean that they can't. The Giants weren't in that conversation, to your point, a few years ago.
Yep.
But they made it. But we saw what happened there. I don't think the Jets are... I think they're... The idea is to build to that level. And this year, if you could win 7-8 games, but show that you're building to that level, then I would be excited about next year. Maybe they get their own quarterback in, your rookie quarterback. Like, there are going to be many steps to the building up process from where they're at. It fell flat on their face. They went all in for Rodgers, which I wanted them to do. You wanted them to do it as well. It didn't work out. Okay. I would have liked them to bring back Aaron Rodgers. I understand why they didn't. It's a totally different regime, new feel. I don't think do you think that they're better than the Bills?
No, I don't think they're better. Okay. But it doesn't mean they can't beat them because they always beat them at least once.
But I mean, to win the division. I'm talking about win the division.
No way.
Okay, so that takes them. I agree.
They're not winning the division.
Okay, they're not winning the division.
I'm thinking last wild card.
Okay, but that means that they're going to have to win one of the three wild card spots.
Do you like the way Miami's going right now? Actually, you asked me. Go ahead. Do you think
that they're better than the Steelers or Bengals?
Well, we're going to learn a lot about the Steelers coming up this week. My answer gut right now is probably not. The Bengals, I know everybody's fixated on Burrow and he's a beast. That defense stinks. And I'm not even sold on the coach. So I don't think the Bengals, now, are they? I don't even think they're playing head-to-head. I don't think they play each other. Do they play the Bengals this year?
No, I just put
I don't think that they
away.
Do so off the top of my head, but I don't think the Bengals are a team that's going to win 12 or 13 games.
Well, they
Maybe they do, but my point is I don't think they're going to have a gaudy win total. Like, I don't look at the Bengals.
They do play the Bengals week eight.
All right, well, with that defense there, the Bengals, and we'll get the more immediate answer, which is good, but the defense in Cincinnati is so porous that I don't think that they'll be able to win 13 games or so, like a number that is so beyond reach.
Even in a bad year, they won 9 games a year ago and missed the playoffs. Like, that could be another conversation. How many wins do you think it's going to take to get in? The Bengals won 9 games last year and didn't get in. You might need to get in with 10.
Well, if it's 10, then I'd say the Jets aren't probably, you know, if it's 9, really, this is all based on what I said. Because there's a point before the point. My main point is, I expect late November, first week of December-ish, where the Jets, where you're watching the games on the couch, and you know how they say in the hunt, they put the standings up,
And it's not just the gratuitous, like, all right, let's put a 4-win team up there because everybody's still in the hunt because nobody's mathematically eliminated yet. But it's more along the lines of Jets have cranked out a couple of wins. They're not among the best teams at all. They're a step or two below the teams that are locks for wild card. And if they get a little hot and get a little lucky, maybe they can mess around and get one. I honestly feel that.
Maybe in the NFC, I would agree with you. I think the AFC. Raiders, I expect to be better. Now,
than the Jets or just they've been?
Better than they were last year.
I agree with that, too.
Yeah, I mean.
But that doesn't mean they're going to be better than the Jets.
No, but I think that they're going to be better than they were a year ago.
Yep.
So I think that they could be better than the Jets. The Broncos, I think, are legit.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers, even with Slater getting hurt, the offensive
lineman.
That's
a big say. They're going to miss him. He's a stud,
Slater.
Yeah,
but they still got more than enough.
And a great coach.
An excellent coach.
I got you.
Obviously, the Chiefs. But just so you have three teams in the West competing for a playoff spot, I think the Jaguars can be better this year. Now, again, how good? I don't know, but I mean, they're starting at a good point where they have a very good quarterback with mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence, right? Yeah.
He's a quarterback. He's good. Is he very good or is he good?
Well, he's better than Justin Fields.
Oh, understood. But the Jets defense is better than the Jaguars. I mean, if Trevor Lawrence is so good, why are we sitting here saying, did they pick the right guy or is the hype justified?
That's four teams right there. I'm going to leave out the Browns, Titans, Colts. I don't think are going to be any good.
No.
The Bengals and Steelers. That's another two teams
right
there.
What about the Dolphins and Pats? How about the two teams in the division?
I think the Pats are going to be better than they were last year.
I agree, but will they be good? I
think they're going to be better than the Jets. I do.
They almost always are. So I'm not going to even just say that the Jets are. But like
they're going to be well coached.
I know.
They've got a quarterback.
I wanted Vrabel, I love Vrabel. And I'm not looking past them. And they do have some components on defense. And they got an interesting. Yeah, I get it. But I also look at an AFC East where I'm saying, all right, the Bills, the Bills are no longer ascending.
Right, the Jets be second in the AFC?
Could they be? I mean, Miami, I think Miami has a new coach next year. I think McDaniels is gone. And the Pats are not ready to win 9 or 10 games. The Pats don't have the old line the Jets have, and I don't think they'll run it the way the Jets do. And I don't think they've got the Jets defense.
Well, to be a playoff team, they're going to have to be second in the AFC. There's no way they're going to make the playoffs and be a third team in the AFC. Yeah. We start, though, with the football days away, just 2 days away from the NFL season officially kicking off on Thursday night. And then, of course, Sunday, the Jets host the Steelers, and the Giants will play on the road in Washington. Adam is calling from South Jersey. What's up, Adam?
What's going on, boys? My Brooklyn brother, BT Sal. Hope you guys are well today.
Yes.
Feeling good.
Football season's here, man. I'm happy, bro. Listen, mm-hmm. before I get to the football thing, I'm going to tell you a little Hoppy story. You want to hear something about your boy Hop over there? I call and talk to you guys, and he picks up the phone. He goes, you want to speak to I'm like, Hop, it's good if you know their names, Hop. That would help if you know who they are, you know?
It's been a while since we've all worked together, so I could give Hop a break on that one. Yeah.
Wait. But then the call got dropped, and I called back again. He goes, he knew it was me. He goes, you want to speak to Evan and Tiki?
Hey, better than Joe and Evan.
Yeah,
at least Evan and Tiki's going on now.
Yeah, at least I got no comment. But, yeah, so anyway, football's here, guys.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We got the Jets. I think that, I've really been looking deep into them, what they got. The coaching is going to make a difference. I think they're going to get better as the season goes. Am I expecting miracles? No. I look at what I call the gray area in football, right? The gray area is where there's 3 or 4 games that you can either win or lose, depending on what you do in the last couple minutes of game, which lately, the last couple of years, the Jets lose.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up with terrible records, right? So I think they're going to be in a lot of games, and I think their water area is like anywhere between 7 wins and a high end of perfection between 9 and 10 if they get those close games that they have been losing so much the last couple of years. And I think that'll be more evident as the season goes. They might get penalties early because they're still kind of like a patient in recovery, They got to learn the Aaron Glenn way. I trust BT, when I called you with Tiki many, many moons ago, I didn't like the Salah hire. I thought he was a phony right off the bat. I'm telling you, Aaron Glenn is real. He's the real deal. He's going to be a disciplinarian. I think it's going to go well for them, but it's going to be progressive. Jet fans, show some patience.
Yeah.
If they're 0-2, 1-3, don't be going nuts. This team will get better. You guys have a great day, and thanks for giving me
your
time.
Adam.
It's a good call. It really is. They're funny, too, because the one thing I know about the Jets, even though I'm very optimistic, I'm also very aware, like, if they fall behind, whether it's this week or another game, 27-6, 30-10, it's a wrap. Like, if the Jets fall behind early, Justin Fields is not slinging their way back into the game. So, and sometimes it could just be one of those, and every team has one or two of these quirky, wacky games where opening kick, fumbled, short field, opponent scores a quick touchdown, pick six, fumble, whatever, like a punt return. You look up, you're down multiple touchdowns. Jets don't have the horses to deal with that. So, and really, I think the Giants have more because of their defense, pass rush, and they have more offensive weapons.
But I'll tell you, it makes a good point in the sense that, and I'm going to include both teams here because I was doing this during the break. You know, like last year, and it was in the driving rain, and it was frustrating. But like the Jets lost the Broncos that game against against Denver at home, 10-9.
That was brutal.
Oh, awful. They lost 23-20 to the Bills. They lost 25-22. They lost 28-27 to the Colts. And the Jets were, Oberg was actually worse than Saleh, which is hard. And then from a Giants perspective too, Sal, you know, again, a very bad season.
But what did you, sorry, BT, let me just interrupt there for a second, because we said the same thing last year when it was, well, they were 7-10 and they lost all these games by 3 points or 5 points, and they had Zach Wilson, and now they have Rodgers.
That's true. I can't push back on that. No, that's fair to insert that. That's absolutely true. Now, Rodgers just didn't play well the first, you know, 7 or 8 games. He played much better after that, as we all know. So, yeah, we thought he would cover that up or close the gap. It didn't work. And then, by the way, a little bit at the end, he did. And they won a couple of, not a ton, but they won a few more. Even the Giants, like week 2 last year, they lost 21-18 to the Commanders. They lost by 5 to Dallas in week 4. They lost by 5 to the Commanders again week 9. They lost in overtime to Carolina. That was awful. And they lost 14-11 to Seattle. You know, pass rush, Wilson, they should be better.
Yeah, I mean, they should be better. The problem is both these teams have been basically eliminated by what? Would you say week 5 the last couple of years? Like, I mean, the Jets maybe were holding out hope last year on Halloween, that Thursday night they played the Texans, right?
I'm just trying to say, Halloween's been the line of demarcation both. It's over.
So if you look at it, like, unfortunately here, and I'm not trying to be negative, but I think the Jets are going to get beat week 1. I think they're going to get beat week 2. I think the Steelers and the Bills are going to beat them. Bucks could be tough. All right, but
I mean, Baker stuff, it's down there. That's not a gimme win either. But right, I mean, could the Jets be 0-3? Yeah. Do I think they will be? No, but they could
be. Okay, so, and then I think they'll beat Miami, even though it's a road game in Miami. What do you think there?
Flip a coin. All right, so I think they're going to be Pittsburgh, though, so I do disagree with that.
Okay, so then I guess my point is, get me, realistically, get me to where games matter beyond, the Jets are off the week of Halloween there. That's their bye week.
Yep.
To November. Is there any chance, forget about the building blocks and all those things that we see, because that we could see early on. Any chance the Jets still in the hunt?
Yes. I expect them to be.
Now, here's the problem with that. Like I said, if I think they're going to be 0-2, at best 2-2 after 4, which is fine, you take that.
Yep.
Dallas, Denver, you split that 3-3. That's how you would get there. Carolina, they could beat. They're not beating the Bengals. And then I guess after that, yeah, if I have them starting...
The Bengals defense stinks.
They're not beating the Bengals.
The Bengals defense stinks. Come on. Steelers, it's awful.
I know, but the Jets can't score points on their level. You're going to have to shut them down. I don't think the Jets defense is that good.
But Sal, if you possess the ball for 37 minutes, you don't have to score 30 points. That's kind of the appeal with the Jets, if they can run it the way I think they can. And if they can't, well, then they're not going to be good.
If the Jets don't have at least one win in the first 3 games, I think that's a wrap. They don't even get us to October. They got to win at least one of those. You want to say it's going to be against Pittsburgh? I could say maybe it's against the Bucs. Because even 1-3, I don't think we get to Halloween. If they go 1-3, is that fair to say they don't make it to Halloween?
No, I still wouldn't write them off.
Even 1-3?
No.
With the Broncos and Bengals?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Bengals defense stinks. Burrow's amazing. But, you know, they're not a balanced team. I mean, there's teams out there that... I mean, listen, there's just teams that have issues. I know we fixate on ours. Number one, they've had a lot, and they've had them for a long time. So that's like the easiest thing to do. Nobody's sitting here saying the Jets without flaw. But if they this sounds like such a cliche thing, but it's applicable this year for once. If they can control the line of scrimmage, dude, we're going to be sitting there, instead of flipping off the game and going to the red zone, I believe that Jet fans will, and Giant fans more than Giants, and some people think, but the Jets fan will be sitting on the couch this year in the fourth quarter, one score game with a chance to win a lot more than they have in a long time, and I'll take that.
Yeah, I hope so. I just don't see them actually winning the majority of those games, so I would say probably out by Halloween. As for the Giants, we're going to know early on here. Dude, I mean, we've all gone over this. Giants schedule's brutal.
The schedule's tough.
So let's just say they split the first 2 games.
Okay.
2 road games, division game. Let's say they split. Mm. Now, I think they got to win both, but let's say they split. Chiefs, Chargers. You think they're splitting those two?
I don't, but it's not like the Chiefs come out and drop 35 on people like they used to. They're a very different team.
All right, so let's say they split those. That's 4. At New Orleans, that could be a win.
Yeah, you have to win that game.
So let's say you're
if you want to have a meaningful season, now you got to beat the Saints.
Now you're October 9th, you're 3-2, you got the Eagles.
Uh-huh.
At Denver, at Eagles.
Yeah.
and in the Niners.
It's daunting. Ooh. No, it's daunting. It's far more daunting than the Jets schedule. You know, how do you not play the schedule game? But when you do it, it's depressing. It's almost like, why have the season? Well, I get it, but there's been other circumstances in previous years where we looked at the schedule. Yeah. Hell, the Jets were supposed to mop Denver last year, and they lost in week four. Remember, like, oh, that's a win. Oh, that's a win. That's a win.
I get it.
So it also works the other way, too, where we're assuming it's a loss and it becomes a win.
All I'm saying is that I think it's imperative that the Giants get out to a good start with their schedule to have a relevant season by mid-October or Halloween.
Okay, but here's what saves them this year. Even if they don't get off to a good start with the wins, the oxygen comes in the form of when does Dar play? And then that obviously changes the perception and the feel for the season.
A totally different form of relevancy. Lawrence is in Oklahoma City. What's up, Lawrence?
I'm just so excited for Sunday, guys. For both teams, I think they're going to play so much better, and it's not going to be football. That's embarrassing to watch because it's just been so bad as of late. And I wonder if the Jets players are going to be able to get behind Aaron Glenn being a former player of the Jets and have that fire them up against Pittsburgh. Maybe they want to go out there and just get after Aaron Rodgers, and Justin Fields wants some revenge for the disrespect he might have felt. So I'm just excited, and let's go New York football for not talking this year.
You're a big Giants guy. I'm surprised that you focused on the Jets. We appreciate the call there. And Lawrence always checks in on the Free Odyssey app. Thank you, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is a difference between enthusiasm, excitement for the season, and expectation, realistic expectation. I get why the fan bases would have great hope and belief and excitement. You've got to have realistic expectations. And then the goal would always be to be exceeding those realistic expectations. If you have unrealistic expectations, Jets going to be a playoff team, at least in my mind that's unrealistic. Mm-hmm. Giants going to be a playoff team, and here we go, maybe do damage. You're setting yourself up for failure. If you have the realistic expectations in accordance with what the majority of people think, meaning the win totals, and now that's not, you know, exact science, obviously, but if you have a relative feel around that, say 7 wins.
Consensus. Generally, most people, what they're thinking.
Well, they're both 5.5 wins. So 7-win season would exceed both win totals. That's a good thing, but that still would not be good enough. I'm getting the feel for both the Jets and Giants fan base.
No, I don't think 7 wins is going to have Jet fans jumping for joy. I think 7 would be, again, depending upon how they get there because the schedule's tougher, blah, blah, blah. Giant fans might be a little bit more enthusiastic about that. But forget about the sheer volume of wins. To me, my expectation is that the Jets have a season deep into November and possibly early December where we're sitting here saying, all right, if you get a little lucky, if you win this game, like I expect that. And I expect the Giants to win a couple of games where we're not sitting here and they're 1-6 and buried like they usually are by the time we get to late, you know, Halloween, basically.